delay system and all systems a go. As we head to 1 o'clock, we take another break at 12:30 for the lunchtime edition of The Latest. 4341790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. Brasstacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm touching on the topic here with these monkeys. You know, in the scientific terms of physics, you say for every action there is a reaction.
Equal and opposite reaction, they taught me in school. Yeah.
Thank you. So we started off with your understanding. Mm-hmm. Over the years, we've had over approximately 50 plantations in Barbados go out of production. Okay, over 50. I have a list of them if you want. If you want me to call you, I have a pen. I can spend 10 minutes. You guys can write them down. Okay, I am one of the persons involved in the monkey eradication program. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
My father, before me, he's passed away a year and a half ago, and he did it for 40-plus years. My grandfather before that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Monkeys, and people are always using the terminology that we are infiltrating or have taken up habitats where monkeys populate. But as a matter of fact, it is a reverse system. There are now all of these plantations out of production where monkeys would have habitated and would have been able to get food to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer in production, so monkeys are now venturing from their habitats
into habitats of
persons.
Mm-hmm.
Because persons obviously plant mango trees, fruit trees, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not a analogy to state that we are taking up monkeys' habitats. If you geographically look at Barbados, the areas that are populated compared to the areas that are unpopulated, especially in the Scotland District area, from the time you reach into St. George, going east-northeast, it's all basically a lot of areas for monkeys to traverse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more than ample space for monkeys to traverse. But the problem there is that the production on plantations have basically dwindled in these areas.
Okay.
So monkeys don't come into neighborhoods, etc., to forage, mm-hmm. because there are animals that forage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a perspective that people need to look at it from. Right? And there are some people who come on the program and talk about tranquilizing and sterilizing monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for any tranquilizer to work, it takes minutes for it to act. If you dart a monkey, that monkey can run up to a quarter or a half mile before it actually becomes sedated.
Okay.
How are you going to find this monkey amongst thick vegetation or a gully if it goes over a gully into a 100-foot ravine and then travels along that gully course? You can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a waste of a diet, a waste of somebody's time, a waste of sedative. It cannot work.
What do we do, since it's something that's been in your family for a long while? By the way, do we have any idea of what the monkey population is at all?
I get chastised for speaking it sometimes because other persons say that it's not sure. But we, the people that usually eradicate these monkeys, from our knowledge and whatnot, and the groups that we have been seeing as of recent, we estimate that these monkeys are over 30,000 in Barbados.
Okay. Was the average been over time?
Well, it's always, yeah, we got them down to at one point in time to around 14 or 50,000, and this was back in like early 90s.
That's 1-4 or 1-5,000, 14 or 15?
Yes, between 14 and 16,000 back in the 90s. That's what the research had said what the population is about.
Okay.
But between now
that's manageable at the time? With the type of...
It was relatively manageable because a lot of...
Because of the plantations. It was still in use.
A lot of the persons on the plantations actually helped eradicate monkeys,
mm-hmm.
because most of the plantation, the owners or the overseers or what all these plantations also helped eradicate them.
Right.
Now, you've got the whole Cliquot group of plantations that have gone out of production.
Right.
You've got Kingsley Estates, which were owned by the Deans previously,
uh-huh.
that have gone out of production. I mean, that's starting from Kingsley, where the Dighton Griffith School is up there, all the way back to Hanson. So that whole geographical area of plantations are now out of production. Bannantyne, Watton, the Hope, Staple Grove, Hanson, Edgerton, all of those plantations are out of production.
Mm-hmm.
Overgrown by habitat where monkeys don't traverse. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, it is okay to say the monkeys are traversing the people's thing. But if you want to look at it from the other point of view, we have created more habitat for the monkeys. So, hence, the monkeys have bred and bred and bred because they now have more habitat to breeding. And by habit, what monkeys usually do, as young males start to mature, the older males drive them out the pack.
Mm-hmm.
they have to now farm their own packs. Mm-hmm. So creating more breeding opportunities, because two or three females, younger juvenile females, may leave with that male.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we could teach them birth control? It's a silly statement.
With a piece of lead.
With a piece of what? Lead?
Lead.
Uh-huh.
Basically, there's no way to get rid of these monkeys but to cull them.
Oh, okay.
But this brings us back to the problem that we have here right now with one administration after the other. It is not one particular administration. I'm not pointing any fingers at one.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1989, this bounty has not increased. The bounty rent was at $10 up to 1989. Now, bear in mind, everything else in the Chinese world and the modern world has gone up, mm-hmm. cost-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of ammunition has gone up. Cost of fuel has gone up. Cost of vehicles. Cost of maintenance of vehicles. And an ordinary vehicle can't basically get into the areas to eradicate these monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There was an article that we were interviewing here, some of the hunters were interviewed the other day that came out in the paper. And it was almost like a slap in the face where the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Agriculture can tell us, oh, we should write. If he were to go and pull the files and the letters that were sent in there over the last 25 years, it would take him a week probably to read them, mm-hmm. asking for an increase for these monkeys. So it's only an insult to us to tell us to write again.
Okay.
I am sure he's listening to Brass Talks now.
Is there a natural way or any other method that could be used, one? And two, if not complete eradication, because I don't think we should eradicate anything completely. As
we will never be.
I don't know why nature has things the way they are. What is in today's environment, given, as you say, there are 50 plantations out of production, we're building more urban centers, we're urbanizing or rural areas, and it seems that we're going to continue going in direction in the foreseeable future. What's a reasonable population? 8,000, 6,000, 7,000? And if you get it down to that, how do you keep it to that point?
Well, basically, the only way, as I said, to eradicate monkeys, and believe me, in my lifetime, and in 10 generations' lifetime, we will never be able to eradicate the monkeys in America. Mm-hmm. And the point is not really about a full eradication of these monkeys.
It's about controlling
the population, mm-hmm. that do not cause people to starve. I have been in areas already where they have old retired persons or even active farmers that monkeys are destroying hundreds and thousands of or even millions of dollars a year in crops.
Okay.
I drive along gully edges, mm-hmm. and the cane grounds have receded about 80 to 100 sometimes more feet along the lines of these gullies because of the destruction the monkeys cause between the edge of the gully and the cart road and into the cane ground.
But okay, so let me ask you this then. If we have a program sponsored by whomever that says, look, let's go into the gully areas, let's go into some of the areas that right now overgrown by bush and cowhitch, and plant fruit trees and plant, you know, shrubs and vegetation that monkeys could forage on, to get them out of the urban areas, would that assist?
In some cases, it may assist if there are large populations of monkeys in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually create a habitat where monkeys can forage and eat. Yes, it will assist. But the population of monkeys right now in Barbados
is too much.
And the boldness of these monkeys, as where they are at right now,
mm-hmm.
there's no choice but to cull them and get the numbers down to at least one third of where they are.
Okay.
Because if we don't do it, believe what I tell you, people are going to starve. Is when the force people out of. I am on the road daily. I receive phone calls daily, and it is all real. You know, it's all easy to get on the radio and talk, or for people to talk that may have a mango tree and say, "Oh, the monkey eat some, and I get some."
Mm-hmm.
They're not depending on this mango tree for a living.
Right.
I have come across cases where I have eradicated monkeys eating hot peppers and onions. They have walked 3/4 of a mile from the gully. To the fields where onions and things were planted at, like Castle Plantation, for example, is depleted.
Mm-hmm.
I have destroyed onions. Right now, I'm dealing with a farmer who has just taken back up land at George River in St. Joseph, but actually Fraser's Plantation, that has been out of production since the 70s. Okay? They spent thousands and thousands of dollars on their cleaning land and have to put it back in production, particularly with planting the banana. They have planted acres. And where we go down there, There are about 8 different troops of monkeys down there, and these troops consist of anywhere between 15 and 40 monkeys per troop. Mm-hmm. And they are not allowing the planting suckers to even get their foothold. They are stripping them and eating the centers out. Right, so people get and talk, but people don't realize the damage that these monkey is a pest, no different than a rat. People won't be calling the program until we leave the rats alone. Poor rat, but they're going to tell you about a poor monkey.
It's perhaps the fact that we are reminded constantly that we came from the gene. So perhaps that's why. I don't know.
If the government were to raise the bounty at $25, which the farmer, the hunters were asking for, basically provide the service and it's to keep the eye sharp, you know, and that $25 would be breaking even. We're not doing this for the profit, you know.
Can we tell them how they can make a profit out of giving you the bounty?
Who's that? The government?
Yeah.
Probably in some. They give farmers every year, because when you do a new farmer subsidies or subsidize, I can bring back to this. The government, basically, when they go and cultivate land for farmers, it is at a subsidized price. Because me, as a farmer as well, there's no way I can send my tractor with an operator out to plow an acre of land for somebody for $180 an acre. Mm-hmm. That is the price that basically government charges. It costs me double that.
Okay.
So the government also needs to know that when they're going to cultivate land for farmers and at their subsidized price, which they do, and they may have put $800 or $900 into an acre of land, because first of all, you've got to harrow it,
right,
and then you've got to furrow it up, so then you've got to strip it, to refine it, then to maybe rotivate it. It's 3 or 4 processes to get land, depending on what you're planting, into cultivation. Mm-hmm. That can run you up to $8,000 an acre at the subsidized price. So if government is willing to keep on plowing up people's land at a subsidized price, and monkeys then come and destroy it, they're wasting time, wasting taxpayers' money. That's the point of view they should be looking at it from.
Well,
ultimately a subsidy is where taxpayers are going to subsidize it.
It seems to me that what you're saying to me is that we have a population of monkeys that have perhaps become adept to a changing environment. They've changed their method of gathering food. They've become perhaps more militant. They have become they roam farther than they used to, and perhaps we're breeding a different breed from the one that simply stuck to the gullies and the open fields and the areas where before they found their food. Now the question is, having culled it, how do you keep a team of people keeping a check on the population, ensuring that they're not reproducing? You find a way once more to export them, because it seems to me that you have to have a plan that goes beyond just, you know, increasing the bounty, culling a few and hoping for the best. We can't sell them condoms, and apparently we can't feed them anything that would stop them breeding. So what?
No, that is the reality of the matter. So a culling program, a continuous culling program with a relatively reasonable monkey to cover cost, is all that the hunters are asking. I don't think that is asking too much.
Too much.
If monkeys are destroying an average of $1 million a year plus in produce, and cane, et cetera, It will pay the government to increase the bounty.
And save
a lot of this money.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense, sir. And I hope the Minister of Agriculture listens and that engages in a program that will assist with the monkey challenge.
I believe it or not, all of the hunters that I know and I can speak for, there are areas in residential areas or areas where people really don't depend on the fruit or the little things that they may plant for a living. Mm-hmm. I may go to areas. I see these monkeys. I say, what is this monkey really causing you? Oh, he's eating my mangoes. I say, well, it's only a few mangoes. You could afford to buy a couple of mangoes. We leave the monkeys alone. We leave them. Because if they are habitating in that particular area, It means they don't have to go and forest somewhere else where they will create issues for persons who are really depending on the produce that they're growing. Okay, so it's not simply just every monkey we see we kill.
Okay.
You know, we concentrate mainly in the areas where they are affecting farmers. And they may have the odd monkey that go into somebody's house and create havoc. They may attack children. Or, you know, I've got people in Rockley calling me down in Rockley, the road.
Mm-hmm.
Monkeys attacking their children in the afternoon when the children are outside playing.
Yeah, they are spiteful creatures. There's a mango tree that's in my yard, and, you know, they pick the first set and they usually leave the second set. They get tired, apparently. They had enough, and they leave. But
if you leave them, sometimes what they will do, especially in residential areas, because the monkeys get so accustomed to the sight of humans and almost start to interact with humans.
Yeah, they do.
They will eat what they want, and they leave.
But
the ones know that are what we deem to be the feral, or all monkeys are wild, but the ones in the areas around farms and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens is because they are accustomed to being hunted. Okay, by the time they see a vehicle, they basically take off. But they could be in that ground or in a tree for 20 minutes to half an hour before a hunter may be able to get there.
But what I was pointing out to you was that one day I think I got a little annoyed with the fact that I wasn't getting any mangoes, so I kind of threw a seed at one of them. I went to work. When I came back, they had covered my entire front steps with mango seeds and skins, which they had never done before. So I figured they were vexing me and decided to teach me a lesson. So I left them alone after that. But they are spiteful creatures.
They have the size of a primate, right? And a primate thinks pretty much like a human. They can reason. They have sense. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a rat. A rat. You hardly see rats run across open fields. You all are all traveling along a wall, right? Always looking for cover.
Sir, I thank you for sharing with us, and I hope the public has listened and the minister sits and has a chat with you guys, and that you could get this worked out. Listen up, the Travel House Half an Hour is coming to you at 1 today on Voice of Barbados. So that's the Travel House Half an Hour when Brass Tacks concludes at 1. Gotta share this with you. Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. Have the regulations of the licensing authority changed? My reason for asking, can I be right for a person failing a driver's test on the 22nd of June to be given a date in February of 2019 for that test? Erskine, where are you? You've raised that issue before. I hope you can answer this for the person, because I can't. I really don't know. But that's, I think it's something that has come up before. Erskine has talked about the shortage of testing officers and all sorts of things at the licensing authority. Perhaps again with a change, we will have a change up there. I don't know. I can't answer that one. Four three four one seven ninety. We should be going to the. I was looking for the other WhatsApp message to share with you here, but it's time for us to go to the news. So we have the lunchtime edition of the latest, and a reminder that the Travel House Half an Hour will come your way at 1. So stay with us. We go until 1. You can listen now for the Travel House Half an Hour coming up at 1 today on Voice of Barbados. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. Good afternoon. Hello. Okay, happens after the break. Most times people take a long break. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
I am fine, and you?
Well, I was trying to hang on. I'll go out be quick because the time's short.
Yeah.
I was down Cove Bay. My daughters and grandchildren taught me driving, you know.
Yes, it's good.
It's so wonderful to raise the children and see them grow and achieve. Let me tell you, it's the greatest feeling here.
Glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, all of them fathers out there who turn their back on the children, it's too late.
Don't go there. Sometimes they don't turn their back. Sometimes they get the door shut in their face. So before we get down that road, let me stay on the station now.
You're perfectly correct. I stood on that cliff and I watched the CV coming in. A beautiful sight, and some thoughts hit my head. I'm going to throw them out there. Any idea can be modified. We don't have to wait when CV hit land and then become a nuisance. We have the Coast Guard, and they have been assisting. If he can go there, and if he had a trawler, a badge, I don't know if he still have it, and we can net that CV and put it in the badge, and then utilize it by putting it on agricultural land and plumbing it into the soil. You can either wash it out, or you can plow it in as it is. You can do it as an experiment and see how it goes. But we don't have to wait till the CV hit our mass. Because if you go on the South Coast now, the South Coast is a mess. And this, to me, in my simple way, is like it's easier to get it when it's floating than to wait when it comes and settle on the beach and become another part of the landscape. Are gone, because we short.
So I want to tell you that there are people who have been using it, and there are also countries that have been using the booms that they use to disperse oil slicks to try to grab the sargassum seaweed before it gets to land. As you say, grab it out to sea and put it on some type of vessel and move it around. There are people who are having fun with the WhatsApp messages. I wish sometimes people would know which moderator to pick on with certain subjects. There are certain subjects you don't run past me easily and get away with it. Brastax, good afternoon.
Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
There are two things I would like to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
And one is, I went to a funeral, and coming from that funeral, I was walking, and I watched this lady at a major road. She was looking to her right. Now, she wanted to swing to her left, so I figured, well, I can step off and step in front of the major road, and I can walk free because she got to look the left. Instead of she looking to the left, you know, she knocked me into the road. She knocked me into the road, and then said, I didn't see you. I said, you couldn't see me because you were intent on looking to your right and talking to the lady to your left. And so you couldn't see me. Anyhow, I let her go along. Now, just one day before my birthday, the 22nd of June was my birthday. I was 70. And the 21st, I was at a major road again here in LaSalle's Terrace in the Pine, Princess Royal Avenue. The fellow that was driving a Jeep looked to his right, and I walked in front of the major road, and he was 5 inches away from hitting me, and then telling me you should be on the blasted sidewalk. Huh?
Ma'am, watch your language.
These people, yes, but blasted in such a bad language.
Ma'am, I just tell you, watch your language.
No, I'm not.
Because again, heated, yes.
I'm sorry about that. But I repeated what he said to me.
Uh-huh. I understand that.
They're gunning for older people.
No, ma'am, listen. The truth is that we have lost our sense of humanity in a lot of ways. Okay, one. Two, I think sometimes people get so caught up with the vehicle they own and what they're doing that they're paying little attention to other road users, two.
Mm-hmm.
Three, I think there is confusion in the minds of the public as to where zebra crossings are, where crossings should be, and how people use the road. So there's this us versus them fight. It's not only old people, young people. Let me put it this way, right? I see, for example, when I was a lot younger, my old lady would walk with us in front of her so she could see what we were doing and where we were going.
Yeah.
And then we would hold hands. I see people crossing the road now and turning back and shouting at children to cross behind them.
Exactly.
I don't know where that come from. It worries me when I see it. And then they scream and shout at the children that they had ears come long.
Yeah. I see it myself.
Exactly. So if we don't learn the rules of the road as children, if we don't teach our children, by the time we get behind the wheel, you see what will happen, right?
Yeah.
So it becomes, I don't care. You know, I hear, you get out of my way. And it is worrying. It is worrying.
It's frightening. frightening, not worrying. Frightening.
It's frightening then.
The other thing I want to talk to you about. A doctor told me that marijuana is medicinal when you steep it in hot water. But when you smoke it, it becomes another chemical and it derails your brain. So I think that people should look into this matter before they think about legalizing any drugs at all. You understand?
Well, there is a famous West Indian cricketer who said he used to take a little marijuana tea to help him with his glaucoma. It used to help his eyesight. He was a very prolific run scorer. The problem with any drug, ma'am, is the misuse and abuse, you know. People abuse sleeping pills. They abuse across-the-counter drugs. They sniff glue. The problem with any drug is its misuse. And while there may be very good medicinal properties to the herb, and there may be other uses that you could put it to, abuse is abuse, and there are various tolerance levels. My road tax expired on June 23rd. Should I park until July 1st? If I sell the vehicle, say in August, what happens when the purchaser goes to register the vehicle? According to the laws of Barbados that will come into effect on the 1st of July, that person will pay $400 for the transfer of the vehicle from their name to your name, sir. That's what the law says, or madam. If you want to park the vehicle, park it. Please do not cross behind vehicles, not in front. Please cross behind vehicles, not in front, says Erskine. Erskine, somebody sent another question here. They wanted to have a temporary license, and they said that at the airport, you could only get one from the car rental company if you're renting a car from them. When I used to visit Barbados on my vacations as a teenager, I used to get a visitor's permit from a police station. Is that still applicable? And Erskine says, no, go and renew your road tax. So I'll go with Erskine. The person who sent me the WhatsApp message about condoms in prisons, let me put your mind at rest before you keep sending me more WhatsApp messages. And while I could WhatsApp you and talk to the person on the phone and not get confused, I want to take you out of your confusion. I do not like politically pointed questions, okay, sir or madam, and your comments are politically pointed, whether you choose to admit it or not, and I don't care how much you laugh at what you write. I was the moderator at the consultation on the use of condoms. I was the moderator, so I was there. It is time I put this matter to rest. I can get in trouble, but I can put the matter to rest. There was a question tree. One was supposed to write a question, place it on the tree. The moderator would select a question from the question tree, and the person present who would best be suited to answer the question would answer the question. All the persons at the seminar, except one, had yellow post-it notes. One person at that seminar had pink post-it notes. Most of the people at that seminar wrote with ballpoint pens. One person at that seminar wrote with a fountain pen. There were two questions put on the question tree on pink post-it notes in fountain pen writing, in the same handwriting. I was the moderator. The first question read, and I refer to my notes because I keep things. I'm a keeper of things. Will the Minister of Finance state if VAT will be removed from condoms to assist in the fight against the spread of HIV/AIDS? And the Finance Minister responded to the question. The second question said, will the Attorney General state if to assist with the fight against the spread of HIV/AIDS, condoms will be placed in prisons? And the Attorney General said, if that had to be done, then the laws would have to be adjusted because there was a law and still is a law about buggery. And therefore, the placing of condoms in prisons would contravene the law against buggery, and it could not be done without a change in the law. It was thereafter stated that the Attorney General had, without consultation in Cabinet, said that they will put prison condoms in prison. I was there. If you want me to produce the pink post-it notes in the fountain pen handwriting so that the police could say who wrote the questions, I could do that for you anytime you feel like doing it. People must test me when they know they could win. Do not test me when they can't win. Because I know that situation. I was the moderator. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Danny.
Yes, sir.
I know we're running out of time now. Mm-hmm. I just want to register my dissatisfaction or concern about the imposition of taxes on the internet purchases, because most of the times, for convenience especially, I purchase raw materials via the internet. Mm-hmm. And now I am going to be saddled with heavy charges. Mm-hmm. This thing will have to pass on to the consumer. So I, like others who have who see it as an issue, is seeing it as a definite issue. Because the only other thing it would do is to run me back to the bank to stand up in long lines. This is a loss of production. And then you would still have to pay, I think, maybe $16 or so for a draft or something to send overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So I find these taxes real onerous. And I'm wondering, now businesses usually get concessions. We don't pay VAT, we don't pay NSR. We get all these concessions. I wonder if we're going to get concessions on the purchases too for raw material online. I need clarification on it, because otherwise, I will have to run on fast tracks on things I need later. I will try to get them. No. I will say, end up in trouble later.
Yeah. Well, sir, you know, one of the problems about concessions is that they tend to be granted to people who form associations and can make presentation on their behalf. Unfortunately, sometimes as individuals, we struggle because, right, you know, then we claim the big people get and we don't get. But that's the truth. It is. Yep. It's one of those things.
There's clarity on it, though.
Yeah, I think it's a good call, and hopefully they'll be able to pick you up on it. And you got in with it. Thank you for your contributions on this, the Monday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. Peter says he'll be taking a short walk across the St. Vincent. I'm not sure if he's going to walk on water. So tomorrow he'll not be with you. He should be back on Wednesday. So if you're usually set up for people, Peter, on Tuesday, you'll have to deal with him on Wednesday. Now, I asked Corey to fill in for him, but Corey has a graduation tomorrow. So I think we shuffle a little bit and see if Sanka could do it. So you'll have a little shuffling at the batting order. But we'll be on track from 10 until 1. God willing. And of course, at 10 o'clock tomorrow, we lay to rest our former chairman, Sir Fred Gollop. And again, to his family and friends and those who've worked with Sir Fred, we extend our condolences. Dennis Johnson, on behalf of the team, have a